This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. If you've been to the grocery store lately, if you're like me, you have noticed that things are looking a bit pricey these days, and that might be an understatement. The grocery store, the lumber store, the electronics store, the convenience store, all of them. You go in and things are a lot more expensive than they were, say, 6 months ago. And it feels like the problem is getting worse. Not only are receipts feeling that much heavier in our pockets, but some products seem to be missing from shelves. There's this incredible supply chain issue. That means we can't get some of the things that we're used to being able to grab pretty easily. Sometimes it feels like the early days of the pandemic again, and it's just something that affects everybody. You probably have less money in your bank account right now because of inflation. And in an election year, there's no shortage of people who will try to tell you who to be mad at for allowing this to happen. But for the rest of the hour today, we want to really dig into what's actually causing all of this and what some of the possible solutions actually look like. Inflation is a word that I think a lot of people use to do an awful lot of work trying to explain lots of different things that are all going on at the same time. You say inflation, no, and people's ears perk up and the hair stands up on the back of their neck. We all understand how dangerous an influence that can be on an economy. But oversimplifying things by calling everything inflation or attributing everything to inflation, I think, is a dangerous way to think about the ways that we move forward in the economy. And that is where our next two guests come in. They are both experts on how to think about all of these things. Justin Wolfers is a professor of public policy and economics at the University of Michigan's Ford School, a contributing columnist for the New York Times and co-host of the Think Like an Economist podcast. Justin Wolfers, welcome to Detroit Today.
A pleasure to be here.
Also with us is Charles Ballard. He is professor of economics at Michigan State University. He joins us frequently to talk about how national and international economic issues affect us here in Michigan. Charlie, welcome back to Detroit Today as well.
Good morning, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
So, Justin, I'm going to start with you. It seems like easy to understand explanations are in kind of short supply lately. But as I said in the open, a lot of people are just saying, well, it's inflation and that's the problem. But walk us through why we're seeing rising prices on a lot of products in a way that might help people understand how complicated all of this is.
Let me go back and actually take you up on people are complaining about rising prices and inflation. And yes, they are. But what's really important is to note that's their concern right now. It's not about jobs. And so that's a measure of the moment that we're in, that not everyone, but the vast majority of people who are looking for work are able to find it, given that they now have a paycheck, they're worried how far that paycheck will go. What's causing inflation right now? In economics, everything comes down to two words, supply and demand. Mm-hmm. On the supply side, there's you might have noticed we're in the middle of a pandemic, and it's a global pandemic, and it's disrupted supply chains all around the world. And so it could be something as simple as a couple of workers turn up to a factory in Asia sick. They're forced to close that factory. That factory is no longer producing chips. Those chips are important ingredients in making cars. And before you know it, what's happened in a single factory overseas is now affecting Detroit. If there are fewer cars, what's going to happen is dealers are going to be less willing to offer discounts. So effectively, prices rise. That's the supply side. Mm-hmm. The demand side is actually much of the economy is pretty healthy. Not all of it. But much of it is. And in particular, one thing that's happened with the pandemic is we're all spending a lot less money on services. Fewer people are going out to bars and restaurants. But we're still spending our money, which means we're spending it on goods. And so there's been extraordinary demand for a range of goods from, you know, washing machines to cars to home goods. And that extraordinary demand, if it can't be met by supply, pushes prices up.
Mm. So there are a lot of people, and I think a lot of people on the right side of the political spectrum who are saying that this is a problem that we know comes from government spending, right? That the massive infusion of cash into the economy from Washington is predictably raising prices and things like that, and that is the kind of sole issue that we should be focused on. Justin, I would love to have you react to that narrative.
Yeah, it's one of those narratives that might be true, it might be half true, and it might be not at all true. And so let's go back. The things that drive inflation are supply and demand. Supply is things like, you know, the costs that businesses face, whether you can get goods from overseas and so on. And it's utterly clear what the main supply constraints are right now, and they're all about the pandemic. So if you wanted to blame a government for that, it would be that we're not doing enough to vaccinate the rest of the world. I'm quite sincere about that. If you want to solve US inflation, you want to think about vaccinating the rest of the world. But if that's not your complaint, and that's not the typical Republican complaint right now, then the part of inflation that's driven by supply is not driven by the federal government. Now, the flip side is the economy's doing pretty well right now. Normally, again, most people have jobs. Most people have incomes. Incomes are holding up pretty well. Normally, that's something we celebrate. The difficulty comes when incomes get ahead of our ability to produce. And so that's the claim that demand is driving inflation. And part of what's driving demand at the moment is there's been very large fiscal stimulus. That large fiscal stimulus, government spending, helped soften the blow of the pandemic recession. But it may have been, by this view, it may have been a little too big. And that's spurring demand for more stuff than we can produce. Mm-hmm. And that's what's driving prices up.
Yeah. Charlie, you and I talk a lot about the economy here in Michigan. I want to have you put this discussion about inflation in context here. Is it worse here than it is other places? And are there particular factors that are dynamics of our economy, which is really different from a lot of other states, that make it look different here for people at the stores?
Well, Stephen, I would love to say, gosh, Michigan is so much different from the rest of the country. But in a lot of ways, we're kind of in the middle of the pack. We're pretty normal in many ways. The last month, they came out with the consumer price index number, and the difference between the Midwest and the national was 0.5 percentage point for the whole year, which for me, if you know how the data are collected, that's kind of within rounding error, at least in my view. I don't think that Michigan is dramatically different, but here is what is different. The consumer price index and other price index, they're just an index, and they're based on a particular consumption pattern. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, you buy this. Well, if you go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics website and click around a little bit, you can come up with a graph that shows all sorts of categories. Most of those categories, the change in prices in the last year was less than that headline number that you saw everywhere. What it is there is a small number of goods, especially energy products, gasoline, used cars and trucks, and new vehicles also. Those, some of them have been way above, and so they're the ones that are pulling it up. Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't drive a lot, the fact that gasoline is high is not much of a problem for you. If you do drive a lot, if you've got a 50-minute in each way commute, then that's so that would really impinge on your budget. So what I'm saying is, the headline number is just an index. It doesn't say what any one individual is doing. And before I close this little riff, I just want to say, if prices are going up by X percent and your income is going up by X percent, then it's pretty close to a wash.
Right.
And we do things, especially for our elderly Americans, we do things to try to protect them from inflation. And the Social Security check got bumped up by the monthly amount, got bumped up by 5.9%. In an attempt to shield those senior citizens from the effects of rising prices.
Yeah.
And since many of them don't drive a lot, their lives will not necessarily be impacted adversely.
Yeah. So Charlie, I also want to ask you about the particular parts of our economy that are different from other places. I mean, our very strong reliance on manufacturing,
right,
in general, and the auto industry in particular. We know about the supply chain problems they're having in the auto industry, which is one of the things that is pushing prices up.
Right.
But what other effects do we see on that sector of all of this?
Well, one of the big things that's going on in the auto sector, and unfortunately is likely to persist for a while, is the shortages of chips, shortages of semiconductors. When you buy a car, what you're buying is, yes, it has an engine and all, but so many things are now governed by electronics. All sorts of data are being passed around your vehicle and displayed on your screen in ways that were just not feasible 20 years ago. But now it's what we've come to expect in cars and trucks. And we've had a shortage of chips for a while, and that's not all due to COVID, although it's exacerbated by, like everything is exacerbated by COVID. But until we get past that supply bottleneck for semiconductors, there will probably be continued shortages. It will be hard for the car companies to ramp up production to the level that they would like to, because they know that they could sell these cars. Unfortunately, you've got, in some places, you've got lots of cars just sitting on a parking lot, cars and trucks, waiting for the chips. There's a new semiconductor plant being built in Taylor, Texas, that will be online, I think, next year. So eventually, I think we'll get past this, but that's a big part of the story for the auto industry.
Yeah. We're talking about inflation and the other dynamics that are making the economy a little wonky right now, not only here in Michigan, but all over the country. If you want to join us, give us a call. Let us know about your own experience with sticker shock, the things that are much more expensive right now than they have been in recent years. What are some of the things you wanted to buy that you kind of thought twice about when you saw the price tag? Also, what do you think is responsible for this, and what do you think is the solution to it? 313-577-1019 is always the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to social media and put comments there, and we'll work you into the conversation. Let's go to David in Southfield. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. And I just was wondering, and this is a great show, and I wonder what the effect of the minimum wage increase is, because I'm wondering if cost is chasing the minimum wage, or if the minimum wage chasing the cost.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, the minimum wage was $1.30 an hour, and everybody seemed to be just fine. When it went to $1.60 an hour, we didn't really know the difference. And I wonder that the way you detect wealth, or that you have more money when you make more than the minimum wage, if you make the minimum wage and like everybody else, all the costs go up, but it goes up evenly, and the employers charge more for goods because they have to pay the minimum wage. And so the population who's been dependent on the minimum wage never really notices. In addition, they may pay more taxes. So I'm wondering if there's really, does the cost, because of course when I was going along, the cost of gasoline was lower too, but is the cost driving the minimum wage up, or is the minimum wage causing the increase in cost and inflation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you wonder if there's really
I don't think I agree with you, David, about the idea of a wage price spiral. But I think the question of the real question about what the effect of higher wages and I guess a higher minimum wage might have is interesting. Justin Wolfers, what's your reaction to that?
Let me take it in two parts. The first is to think about the minimum wage. And the truth is that there are fewer and fewer workers on minimum wage. Our minimum wage is so low that so many people have sort of just grown above and beyond it. So it's a very small share of the costs of business. So even while theoretically you could think about higher minimum wages feeding through to higher prices, it's likely a very, very small factor right now, small enough not to worry about. There's a broader issue, which is as prices rise, workers demand higher wages to make up for it, and often they're pretty successful at that. And the difficulty that can arise is if that then raises costs, because workers as a whole, not just minimum wage workers, but all labor, is a pretty important cost. And so that is what people are worried about right now. By one story, we've had a bunch of COVID-related costs that have come through, and that caused one offset of price rises, and that's why inflation's high, and all we have to do is wait for the pandemic to be behind us, and we won't get ongoing rises in costs, and we therefore won't get ongoing rises in prices, and inflation will fall away. That's the optimist story. The pessimist story is that maybe wages are starting to rise a little more, and that will put more cost pressure on businesses, and that will then push them to raise their prices. And if businesses raise their prices, then workers will ask for higher wages, and that's the possibility of a wage price spiral. We're not seeing that yet, and it may not happen, but it would be irresponsible not to be at least a little bit worried about that possibility.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, I want to just amplify a couple of things that Justin has said. The minimum wage is so low. And remember, even though the minimum wage in Michigan is somewhat higher, it's less than $10 an hour. And the national minimum wage, which some states do not have anything above that federal minimum, that's $7.25 an hour. It hasn't changed in 13 years. And that means that it's, if you adjust for the inflation that's happened in that time, it's less than it was by a substantial amount in real terms. So the minimum wage is really a sideshow at this point. If we were to raise the minimum wage to $15, then we might be having a different conversation. But at the very low level that the minimum wage is right now, it just affects very, very few people. And its effects on the macroeconomy are tiny. And I honestly think that we could raise the minimum wage a fair amount, not infinity, but we could raise it by a few dollars an hour and have really minimal dislocation in the labor market. Because you look around, you see for low-skill jobs, $17 an hour plus a bonus.
Yep.
So that the minimum wage is not much of the story right now.
Yeah. Again, David, appreciate the call and the question. Let's go to Bob in Lake Orion. Bob, I've only got about 2 minutes left, but quickly.
I can be real quick. I'm always curious what the effect of zero inflation or almost stagflation has had over this 18, 20 months of pandemic, and whether what we're seeing is, you know, the highline number is a big snapback from what would have been very small incremental changes over 20 months. I'd like to hear what your guys have to say about that.
Yeah, great, great question. Justin, quickly.
It's an interesting question. I think what we're seeing right now is just a little bit too much to be purely a snapback. There may be a bit of snapback there, but I don't think it's the whole story.
Yeah. Charlie, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. Certainly, prices did go down for a couple of months in the spring of 2020 because everything was shut down. Now, spring of 2020 is almost 2 years ago, and so I think it's partly that snapback, but it's these other factors. There's plenty of money to spend, and the supply chain is just having difficulty keeping up with it.
Yeah. Okay. I want to thank Justin Wolfers and Charlie Ballard for being here. Great explanations for our listeners about what they're experiencing at the stores. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Okay, that is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when I'm going to talk with author and economist Tim Harford about his new book, The Data Detective, 10 Easy Rules to Make Sense of Statistics. That's Right Today is produced by Jake Neer and Sam Corey. Our program director is Joan Isabella. The technical director and engineer is Matthew Trevethan. And our associate producers are Amanda Duran and Chantel Phillips. Detroit Today's music is created by Sam Bobian and Will Sessions. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station. Your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.